Welcome back to Storytellers on a Mission. This is Tom Baudette. We heard from Elna Baker a story about family and religion and how it all leaves us blinking at the landscape and hoping we're making good choices. Ian Chillog is a writer and producer at NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me weekly satirical news quiz, and he joined us here in Brattleboro to tell a story which is also about family and religion and choices. Is this a theme or merely a strained attempt at a transition? You be the judge.
My name is Ian Chillog, and Chillog is a Hungarian word for star. And when I was a kid, I knew that your name came from what you did. A smith was, maybe their ancestors were blacksmiths. And I got it in my head at some point that because my last name was Star, that my ancestors, hundreds of years ago, had been astronauts. And I held on to this belief for an embarrassing, like, into adulthood. But at some point it occurred to me that that probably wasn't possible, and that Hungary, Star, that it probably meant Star of David, and our family had been Jewish. But we never talked about it in my house, so I went to see my grandfather, Erwin Chillog. And I went to his house, and I went in, and he was sitting in the chair he always sits in. It's one of those recliners for old people where you push a button and it will elevate you into a standing position when Matlock is over. And my niece loves to play on this chair. She's four, and she calls it the electric chair. No one in my family has had the strength to correct her. So he's sitting in this recliner, and as he always is, and my grandmother is in the next room. There's sort of a pass-through between those rooms, and she's playing solitaire, which she does all the time. So I say to Erwin, my grandfather, Chillog, was that like Star of David? Was the family Jewish? And he kind of leans in and he says, yeah, the family was Jewish. And I hear from the next room, my grandmother says, you told me you were Lutheran! They had been married for 65 years at that point. He looks at me and he says, I wanted her to like me. So religion was not, it just wasn't a thing in my house. We didn't have a religion. We didn't go to church. And where I grew up in West Virginia, this was unusual. And, you know, you didn't want to say, I don't go to church. Or when somebody said, what's your religion? You didn't want to say, I don't have one. So my parents invented a religion. And if anybody asked, we were supposed to tell them we were Eighth Day Hungarian Orthodox. That is not a religion or a day of the week that exists. So it was strange then when my father became completely obsessed with the living nativity scene in town. I think it was at a Baptist church. And he came home and he said, you have to see this. And this happened a lot that he would say that. But he came home and he said, you have to see this. And he gathered the whole family in the car and we drove over to the church and we pull into the parking lot. And in the corner of the parking lot, there's hay and there's plastic baby Jesus and plastic Mary and Joseph and the manger, and there are two sheep, real sheep, and a llama and a goat. And we're just sitting there in the car, and my father just kind of holds his hands on either side of the steering wheel like this, like it's supposed to be evident to any of us why we're here. So we get out, and my sister says, why didn't they hire actors to play baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph? And My mom says, because you can't leave a baby outside. It's true, you can't. So a couple days later, a letter to the editor appears in our paper. And it says, Dear editor, the living nativity scene at the First Baptist Church is great. And I love that the birth of Jesus is being commemorated in this way. And I love the sheep and the llama and the goat. But why no monkeys? And it was signed Concerned Christian, which was definitely my father. I'm sure that was my father. So he became really obsessed, and he started feeding the sheep. At first, it was things like you would expect, like a carrot or an apple. But he had this pheasant hunting jacket. Do you know what a pheasant hunting jacket is? It has like the whole lining on the bottom is a pocket. And the idea is you kill a pheasant, you put the bird in your pocket, and you take it home. But my father would wear this and just filled it with candy. It was always filled with candy. So I'm standing there, and there's the sheep in front of me. And my dad reaches into his pheasant hunting jacket, and he pulls out a Werther's Original. And he hands it to me, and he says, give it to him. And I said, Dad, he said, give it to him. So I started to unwrap it, and he said, you don't even have to unwrap it. They'll eat anything. So I take this Werther's Original, and I reach forward. The sheep comes forward, and this hot, moist cloud comes out of the sheep, and it takes the Werther's Original. If you ever have the chance to feed a hard candy to a sheep, take it. I don't know much about sheep, but I think what happens is I think they don't have lips. So I think there's nothing to muffle the sound. So it's just it sounds like you had fed it like a bones or like a string of pearls. It's fantastic. So we go back a couple days later. At this point, we were going all the time. It was like you would go pick up milk. Like my dad would say, let's go see the llama. And that's what he called it. He called it the llama. The birth of Jesus was a setting for the viewing of animals. So we go back, and my sister and I are off to, you know, one side feeding peppermints and Werther's Originals to the sheep. And my father kind of stayed off to the side, and he was eating an orange. And he was peeling the orange. And he peeled the orange such that there was just one long strip of peel. He got it all off in one piece. And I think this is when things begin to go wrong. He took the peel and he gave it to the sheep. And you know when you get a soda out of the machine and you put the dollar in, and it's like that one time where actually it just goes straight in and it doesn't come back out. This was that orange peel inserting into the sheep. And if you've never seen a sheep choke, it's exactly like you'd expect. His eyes bugged out and he started, you know, retching, and we thought he was going to die right there, but he didn't. He recovered. He died later. I don't know if we killed the sheep. I don't know if it was the orange peel or the Werther's Original. The 8 pounds of Werther's Originals that were inside of that thing. I don't know. Maybe it died of loneliness because it missed my father, bringer of candy. But now even now when my sister and I are on the phone and there's a pause in conversation, one of us will say, "Remember when Dad killed the sheep?" So I was thinking about this, though, and we had this weird family with no religion or Eighth-day Hungarian Orthodox made-up religion. But I think of any family in town, we went to the nativity scene more religiously than any other family. And we were, you know, we were worshiping something. And I went home recently to visit my parents. And as soon as I walked in the door, my dad said, "You have to see this." And he led me outside to the power lines in front of our house. And we looked up at the power lines, and there was a squirrel that had tried to go from one power line to the one above it and completed the circuit and electrocuted itself in this pose of victory. It's like an ironic pose of victory, but it was there. And I looked at my dad, and he was looking up at it, and he looked at me, and he just had this look on his face like, "Can you believe, what have we done to be so lucky as to see something like this?" And I think that was our religion. Thanks.
Ian Chillog is a producer for NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me weekend news quiz, a Moth Story Slam veteran, and now, in our minds at least, a man who once killed a sheep with an orange. When we come back, Peter Guerrero takes us on a tour of New York like no other. Right after this.